Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Happy Father's Day in advance to everyone out there for Sunday.
Happy Father's Day.
And listen, I'm looking forward to the weekend, looking forward to Father's Day. But I'm coming off an L last night, Hugh. I mean, it's an L for me.
What happened?
Well,
I know what happened. I just want to hear you say
count
it.
Okay. Yeah,
it's an L. Well, last night, well, I'll say this. The Phillies got some bad news in their pursuit of a bat at the trade deadline. And I took a personal L last night because... And I know, I mean, I'm going to wait for you guys to peacock. I told you so. It's a matter of time. Mike Trout is back on the injured list for the first time.
I mean, nobody's mad at you about that, Joe. It was only a matter of time.
Well, see, there you go. It's just a matter of time.
I mean, no, it was only a matter of time. I mean, I understand how you felt about him because most people did, but we kind of all knew that it was only a matter of time before he got hurt.
Probably. I will say this, and we had a caller earlier who echoed this. This is not a deal breaker. This is a hamstring. This isn't a knee. This isn't out for the season. Hamstring, but Mike Trout is on the injured list, so we'll see how long this lasts and where he is. But that obviously puts a monkey wrench in the plans to maybe trade for him because he's hurt. But the other one, and this is probably even a bigger deal, Byron Buxton, Hugh, who's probably even having a better year than Trout. Byron Buxton has had quite a year for the Minnesota Twins. Byron Buxton, he's been asked in the past if he would waive his no-trade clause, and he has said no, he doesn't want to. And yesterday, he got a little, I'm just reading it, but it seemed like he got a little animated in his no.
A little snippy.
So he was asked about, you know, the speculation he could get traded by August 3rd. He said, I'm a Twin. And then he was asked, well, your name keeps getting floated out there. And he said, I don't give a bleep. So
we had one of those moments.
He had one of those. Yeah, those happen to everyone, right?
Quote, it's the weekend.
We're unfamiliar.
Happens to the best of us. The quote continued, at end of the day, nobody's in my shoes. Nobody could say anything about what I'm going to do. No, I know what I'm doing. The only way I'm getting out of here, they're going to have to come talk to me and tell me something else. Simple as that. I ain't said nothing about leaving, nor will I. I'm
a
Twin.
Yeah, it's not like
I am not leaving.
You know what I heard there?
A little open to it, maybe?
I heard he left an out.
Well, they have to come talk to me.
They have to come to me.
So you know what it sounds like to me? He's not going to request a trade. Obviously.
That's what they want to do, you got to come talk to me about it.
Right. If you really don't want me here anymore.
Tell me to my face.
That's what it sounds like.
You know what else? I guess maybe I just wasn't fully paying attention. Mm-hmm. Did he ever say, I want to be here?
Well, he did say I'm a Twin for life.
Okay.
Now,
well,
that was last year.
Contractually, sure. I mean, just like A.J. Brown, I'm an Eagle. Howie, A.J. Brown's an Eagle. I mean, how many times, because now I'm going back to A.J. Brown, the guy that was traded that everyone told me wasn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I loved it here. I love Philly.
Hold the line.
Philly's my home. Yeah.
Hold the line.
I wasn't even talking about you.
I caught a stray.
But isn't this sort of the conversation we have with everybody who said he wasn't going to be traded? AJ said he loves it here, or this is his home. Like, technically, yes, it is his home. He didn't say that. All he did was state a fact.
Off of that, Hugh, do you think there's something to, let's use Trout, let's use Buxton, two guys that have no trade clauses. Do you think there's something to, they don't want to be the bad guy? Like, if you come to me as an organization, you say, hey, we're going a different direction. Will you waive this? We want to trade you. That's a little bit different legacy-wise than Mike Trout or Byron Buxton saying, get me out of here.
I think Buxton is probably more of the, I don't want to be a bad guy. It just sounds like, to me, Trout's more loyal.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
When you talk about the two different styles, Buxton basically threw it open when he said, you know, if they want me out of here, talk to me about it. So that's one thing, but Trout feels to me like he's just fiercely loyal to the team that drafted him.
So you know what? I agree with you on that. What I think now has to happen, obviously we're talking about the Phillies, but any team. I think you almost have to, like, if the Phillies want Byron Buxton, they have to initiate it, right? Call the Twins, start talking, start offering things, start gauging their interest in your prospects, and then maybe if they get intrigued, they'll go to Buxton and say, hey, Byron. You know, this might be best for all of us if we kind of go our separate ways. Maybe then he would waive it. I don't know. I mean, I do like that he's kind of animated about it. I don't give a bleep, says Byron Buxton. I mean, that if he does end up getting traded, obviously that means they came to him and they offered a trade. But yesterday, I would say this, not a great day for the prospects of us getting one of these guys that are having, you know, all-star kind of seasons in the American League. Trout hurt, Byron Buxton saying, I'm a Twin, leave me alone, I don't want to talk about this. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, because we have a lot to talk about. Mario, Northeast Philadelphia. What's up, Mario?
Yo, what's up, my favorite crew? How y'all doing?
What's going on,
we're good,
man.
Mario, what's up?
Y'all had to call, man. Y'all got Big Unk frustrated. He out there dropping the S-bomb and everything out there.
I don't recall what you're talking about, dog. I don't know what
you're talking
about.
That was a whole hour ago. We're good.
I was like, man, it got Big Unk hot. But, y'all, I'm right with you, though, man. I'm tired of the Jaylen talk, too, man. And it's sad.
I think I'm tired of you on the speakerphone.
Yeah, what are you doing, man? You in the bathroom? You dropping a deuce? Yeah. What you doing, man?
I'm in the bathroom. I'm at the bar.
No, you got to get off the speaker, though. Yeah. You got to get off the speaker.
Come on, Mark.
I'm on the headphones. I usually call y'all on the headset.
Well, yeah, you can't be cutting and talking right, at the same
time. Mario, put you on hold. Let's get the phone connection better. We love
Mario's
you, Mario.
A vet too.
We'll bring you back in.
We know this, guys. Yeah. It's like the number. It's like
the speaker kills it. It kills it.
I mean, it's since the beginning of time with radio, guys.
But see, Mario probably trying to cut hair. You know, he's trying to cut the fade, and because it's Friday, it's Father's Day. Everybody trying to get right, get the beers right. And trying to get
you're
going to
get a shape up this weekend?
No.
Weren't you looking for a spot?
I was looking for it. Okay. Yeah, Mario might have to go shout out.
You know
Mario.
What? We have a barber. He's our guy.
Yeah, but I'm afraid like going to the barber because
a
lot of times you go to the barber, they cut you the haircut. They give you the style. Well, not a haircut, but they cut the beard.
Well, you and I are not getting haircuts.
You know, they want to cut your beard the way they think your beard should look. And I don't want that. I want the beard the way that I want it to look.
Well, I've never gone. I don't have a beard. I've never gone to get a beard trimmed up. Would you give them how would you explain it? Would you show a photo of your old self?
Just a shape up. Like shape up. For me, it's like a shape up. I like the full look, and you know, I just wanted to shape up.
You don't trust them though.
It's hard. It's hard to trust a barber. You know, even though they say, "Oh, I got you," a lot of them don't have you.
Well, when people have a good one, they stay with them, right, for a long time.
That's the thing. That's the thing in the barbershop.
Well, maybe you got to find your forever barber.
Forever barber is crazy. I'm closer to finding my forever barber than I am my forever person. I like how you set that up.
I wasn't thinking of it in that phrase.
I'm just saying. I get it. Because Kyle had a Tinder shot he threw in there earlier today. So it's like,
well, top five at five was on the Tinder stuff yesterday, too.
I heard. That's why Jack wasn't looking at me. Jack was like, he don't know if I heard or not. But yeah, I heard him. He talking about the Tinder shot. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Tim in South Philly. What's up, Tim?
Hey, I'm driving from Raleigh back to Philly. Thanks for keeping me company.
You got it.
With the wins and losses, I think any time that we apply wins and losses in a team sport, the intelligent Philly fan knows that there's enough nuance to it that it's just part of the picture. So whenever I see it applied to a quarterback or a pitcher or a goalie, I just look at it as a tiny part of a bigger picture. And I think this is underlined by the most painful sporting event I ever went to in Philadelphia, which was 2011, Ruth Holiday against the Cardinals, which he pitched an absolute loss. That was the most painful sporting event I've ever attended in person. And, you know, Roy Halladay took a loss, but he pitched an absolute gem. So I think, you know, you always have to look at the context of the wins and the losses, but there's no harm in having that as part of a quarterback, a pitcher, or a goalie statistic. And I hope that can bring you all to a little peaceful resolution.
You know, Tim, I think it will. I mean, Tim, we appreciate the phone call. And the little feedback, we're glad we're keeping you company. I mean, I think Tim's brought an interesting way of framing it. Like, it's part of the story, but it's not the whole story.
I mean, it's nuanced. There's no question about it. But for me, and you talk about especially the quarterback spot, that is the absolute most coveted position when it comes to football. You're like, you know, you got your offensive line. It starts with the offensive line and stuff like that. But when you talk about that position, you want the big arm. You want the statuesque size and things of that nature. But we've seen outliers, you know, and we talk about one of the greatest outliers that ever played the game, Joe Montana. You know, he played in an era where everybody was the funny gun offense or whatever it was.
And Fouts and all those guys.
Yeah, and those guys are putting up big numbers. But he didn't have the biggest arm and he wasn't the biggest guy, but he won. He won. And then you talk about the evolution of the game is when you bring in Steve Young. And they bring in Steve Young and how it changes, and they're at the forefront of the way the quarterback plays the game. And I think that's what it is. And Jaylen, unfortunately, Jaylen's at an impasse right now for him. Jaylen has had a lot of success early that normally you would want your quarterback to have late. So now, you know, with the type of money that Jaylen's potentially going to make that could potentially hamstring your team, he's asked to do way more than what he's done so far. And that's where, you know, it becomes an issue, because when we hear it and we talk about it, it's like, well, he's already done this, that, and the third. Yes, he has. And that's a fact. But now when you talk about putting your team in a situation where you're going to have the quarterback, and I'm just throwing numbers out there, $200 million, and he's going to eat up most of your cap. I just say this. He's going to eat up most of your cap. He's going to eat up most of your cap. Now you have to be sure that he can carry you to that next level, because you're not going to be able to have the kind of talent. You might not be able to have the kind of talent you used to have around him.
So, you're right. I just thought of two things during our last call. One, he brought up the parallel, because there's only one other sport where we assign a win and a loss to a player, right? Unless I'm missing something. I guess goalie, right? So three. There's three positions in sports that get assigned a win and a loss: a goalie, a quarterback, and a starting pitcher. And I know this definitely true. We've stopped doing it as much in baseball. Like, they still give the win and the loss, right? Mm-hmm. Every game, you look at the box where there's a win and a loss.
But they don't go as long as they used. It's not as, it's a little bit, you know, watered down a little bit.
Yeah, we've stopped looking at it as gospel. I remember when, I think it was DeGrom and Felix Hernandez, they won the Cy Young with like 9 or 10 wins. That's when it was over. I mean, that's when people just stopped referencing it. In fact, if you ask me right now the records of the Phillies starting pitchers, we talk about the Phillies every day. I watch every game. I don't even know. I have no idea Christopher Sanchez's record. I would guess it's good, right? Because he didn't give up a run for a month. So, but I don't know. I mean, but I have no idea. I mean, it might be 7-2. It might be 5-0. I have no idea. And I wonder if we, as we move forward in football, if we will do this less. Hugh, someone brought up, did Stafford come up earlier? I think Stafford may have come up earlier.
His name, well, it was in just general conversation. Okay. Yeah.
Like Stafford, all he did is lose. In Detroit, all he did is lose.
Loser.
Well, but like, if we just, I guess if we assign just wins and losses to quarterbacks, it would have been looked at as kind of crazy for the Rams to trade Jared Goff for him.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't crazy, right? I think because people kind of realize you take him out of that environment and he would win. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where this goes in the future. I do wonder how much longer we're going to assign the win to the quarterback, because we've stopped doing it as much in baseball.
You know what's funny that you bring his name up, because he was considered, like, he, if I recall, got the Detroit Lions the furthest they've been in the playoffs in a long time.
They did
time.
Make the playoffs, yeah. And, two times, and, I think? Maybe
yeah.
Two or three.
They were, like, he made them exciting. And now you talk about his career, and I remember saying this about it. Hey, if he was somewhere else, he'd be a Hall of Famer, right? Now he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. He get this year, it's safe to probably say that he probably will be a Hall of Famer. Oh, hell, it's probably safe to say he's a Hall of Famer now.
He probably is. MVP and a Super Bowl.
But that goes to the point of how important it is to have that guy. And you see how three or four seasons? Because he's been in, 4 years? Something like that?
This might be six now.
Damn, it's been a long time.
21, 22, 3, okay, 4, yeah. 5, okay. 6. This is going to be 6 years.
So you talk about, well, that's not a short period of time, but for the purpose of this conversation, he's changed the way he's seen another guy, Saquon Barkley. Like, Saquon Barkley in two seasons, even though if you can make an argument that his last year's season wasn't that great, Saquon Barkley is considered potentially a Hall of Fame running back right now.
Or close, at least.
Yes,
yeah.
Because of him being here. And that's, you know, that's just how this game works. And so that's why when you talk about Jalen and what he's been able to accomplish, that's what makes it so unique. He's somewhat of an anomaly.
Yeah, well, he is. The part that I think is most, I don't know the word is, interesting or like just, it, my brain, I can't put it in there. There's the most people on the field in football, right?
Yeah, 11.
Yeah, 11 on each side. Baseball has 9, and it's just one pitcher, one batter versus the other one. But like, it's 9 versus 9. Basketball, 5. Like, it's the most people, but we give the win and the loss to one person. That's where I struggle with it, just in general. Andy in Westchester's up. What's up, Andy?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Andy, up, Andy? How are you?
Good. I believe Byron Buxton's exact quote was, he's tired of this effing conversation.
You know what? I need him here in Philadelphia.
You know
now.
What, Andy?
I want his first interview to be on the Midday Show. This is a place you can feel welcome, Byron, right here with us.
Sorry, Hugh.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
I was worried about you.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
So, Joe, to what you were saying, I actually kind of agree. I think that he, you know, people say that all the time. They're not going to waive their no trades, and then they end up getting traded. It's just playing the game.
And he doesn't have to be the bad guy to Twins fans if he makes the team come to him, and then he's like, all right, well, they wanted me out, so I said okay.
Exactly. But to that point about getting him or someone else, I was thinking about the fact that we have a very depleted farm system. Who are we trading? That's what keeps coming up. And at this point, with the potential lockout next year, I'm not sure if it matters as much if you sell the farm, because even with the lockout, that doesn't affect the minor leagues, right? They can still kind of replenish and rebuild during that period. I know it's a short time, but I was thinking about why not at this point start considering throwing Boehm in there, because he's playing well. He actually is at his sell high moment now, I would say, and then maybe you have a better shot of getting what you're looking for.
Yeah, so it's interesting, Andy. The Phillies have been connected to Matt Chapman, the third baseman from the Giants, who his numbers aren't that different than Boehm this year, but he's had a better career, more power, great defensive player. He's more expensive and older, but when I saw his name connected, I was wondering, like, what would that mean for Boehm? I mean, there's two options if they got a Chapman. They'd have to put Boehm at first and put Bryce in the outfield, or they'd have to trade Boehm, right? Because he's not going to play over Chapman. You're not going to just put him on the bench. So there's almost like, yeah, I do wonder if, when we say creative, I wonder if they would trade for a bat, but maybe trade a guy like Boehm out to fill another area. It's a different way of thinking, Andy. That might work.
Well, yeah, and that's, I mean, from my point of view, what you're saying is trying to figure out how they're going to work it out. It's, my job is to come up with idiotic ideas. Their job is to figure it out.
That's so, exactly right.
Let's get the guy.
That's why you fit it on WIP. Idiotic ideas, and we talk about
tracks.
It. Andy, what do you got for us for Father's Day gift?
So, one, first of all, my Father's Day gift to the world is that I don't have children, because we don't need more of me running around. What a terrible Father's Day gift, because it's a double whammy, is either a home brew kit or a home winemaking kit, because not only are you giving your dad a job to do, when he does it, now you'll have to drink terrible wine and beer. And then, God forbid, he actually gets into it, which is what happened to my dad.
Oh, wow.
He used to call wine liquid dirt, and he would always force it on you.
Andy, that's a good... So I've never...
You said liquid dirt, though.
I've never gotten one, but I have... Andy, good phone call. I have tasted, you know, beer from people who have their home brewing kit.
I've had home wine. Now, Trey makes wine. It was really good.
Yeah?
But I think I got the better version. I don't think I got the beginning versions of him making wine.
Now,
I think
does
I got
he make it version. Like in his basement? Or
yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Because I remember him telling me he got the whole setup, and he was making wine from fruit, and he gave me a couple bottles, and it was really good.
So I've had a couple of home brewery beer, and they're not great. Now, here's the thing. It's hard, right? Like, you're just a person in your basement
Who made you the beer?
I'm not going to say names. I'm just saying I've had a few. They're not as good as, like, really good beer. But I guess, what do you expect, right?
When you're doing it like that, it's trial and error.
Sure it is.
It's trial and error. And if you're serious about it, it's like anything. You got to perfect your craft.
Yeah, and it might take time, right? Yeah. You might get the first batch. All right, Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. All right, where are you with the Phillies as a World Series contender? In or out, Hugh? How would you guess the votes?
78% in. No, you know what? Can I amend that?
Sure.
78% out.
You know what? I'm glad you amended it. 79% out on the Phillies.
I felt like you better.
All right. Well, I mean, we can't avoid the elephant in the room. We got to figure out the answer to this poll today. Are wins a quarterback stat? Hugh, how do you think people
78%? Yes.
55% yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty close to 50-50. Yeah.
Seems this was productive today.
We really accomplished something here.
I get it. We got it, you know. A little tight.
Here's what I'm happy about. If we could put a positive spin on everything today. Yeah, at least we got some big passion for a 50-50 poll. Right? If it was 90-10, it would have felt like that was a waste of time. Why are we getting upset about a 90-10?
Oh, it's an intense conversation.
It's an intense, of course, QB wins.
It's annoying. I mean, because not to diminish what you're saying, I get it, but for me, it's almost like you've been programmed to feel this way, and I feel strongly about it for forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you
because
do.
Because it's and I get it, and it's like you know, you hear like people say, hey, man, just figure out a way to win. Just win. And it makes no sense to people that are like on our side. But it's like, hey, you just got to figure it out. And Jalen has done that. Now, he has to step up big time this year because he's being asked to. Especially when you talk about the kind of money he's going to get.
I'm just trying to be an agent of change. That's all I'm trying to do.
Like you've done a great job.
Well, am I to blame?
Okay.
Oh, no, you're fine.
No, I'll take the blame. 215-592-9494. All right. Your phone call's coming up. We also have to talk to our World Cup expert. Hugh, last week we spoke to Jamie Watson, Odyssey World Cup insider, and you gave him the recommendation, right,
get some chicken wings. I wonder where Jamie is now, though.
Well, we're going to ask Jamie where he is in the world and if he got any chicken wings upon Hugh's recommendation last Friday. So we'll talk to Jamie Watson. USA plays tonight. Very excited about it against Australia.
Brazil's in town, too.
Brazil is in. The whole country. Yes. They're all here.
And they're really enjoying the city.
Yeah. They were at the Rocky Steps?
But they're playing it safe, though.
There were people standing guard, allowing anyone to put a jersey on the Rocky statue.
Do we have any audio of
this isn't... so this is at the Parkway. I think by the Rocky Steps.
Okay.
But some Brazil fans on the news talking about the city.
Can we hear it?
And they're loving it, yeah.
The people are always happy and smiling, and everybody's so kind and warm, and the vibe of the city is so amazing. To be honest, this is the most beautiful city I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I really loving this city.
You know what? No disrespect to him, but he must have got straight off the plane and went straight to the Rocky Steps.
You know what? Beautiful city he's ever seen.
If he wants to get the full picture of the city, I think he should have been listening to WIP in his Uber about an hour.
That's
and a half
what
ago.
I was about to say. It was
get
like
the
it
full
gets a, yeah,
version.
Yeah,
we get the
hang out by the Scooble or the Scoogle.
The Scooble. Yeah, we know what you're thinking.
It's
about
in my head.
Scooble, yeah,
the city of probably
your headphones
love.
In.
Yeah, listen to the midday
you're
show.
Like, what the hell?
Odyssey app.
What happened? 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. All right. Your phone call is coming up, and we'll see if Jamie Watson took Hugh's recommendation last week in Atlanta. It's the Midday Show right here, as always, on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The world's biggest soccer tournament has arrived, and of course, you could trade the entire tournament on Kalshi. And right now, and really, it continues to grow. Every time I look, it changes. And I think it's because Spain had a draw early, and it's looked like a very dominant effort by France so far. They are trading at 18% to win the World Cup, which means a $100 payout on France pays out $496.97. On Kalshi, you're trading its peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. And don't take a minute to yawn. You'll miss the probabilities changing. You could buy in and out of your market when they do, out of your position. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10. You trade 10. KALSHA. Kalshi, trade the beautiful game. This is how to close out a great Friday.
Hate this song.
Yeah, I feel we have company too, and I feel bad, but
yeah, that's a terrible.
We gotta play it right, and apologize to the guests. We gotta let it go through to the best part. I mean, can't cut it off now. Come on,
Father's
you.
Day. I mean, given the advice we gave,
close
him last
this out
week,
with singing today.
Definitely not singing this song. Somebody's dad paid for this song.
Well, Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. There we go.
Ooh, this song is horrible.
Ooh. All right, welcome back. Hugh's favorite song on a Tri-Day Friday.
Right.
Back to your phone calls in a minute. But, Hugh, we started a little tradition last week. We got to keep it up because the World Cup continues. Jamie Watson, a former professional soccer player, 12 seasons he played professionally, and now a broadcaster, and he is part of our Insider Call presented by Fanatics Sportsbook. Download the Fanatics Sportsbook app today. Fanatics Sportsbook winning hits different here. A big night a week ago for Team USA. They hope to continue it tonight, along with some games, of course, right here in Philadelphia. Jamie Watson joins us right now on the Midday Show. Jamie!
Guys, I'm back, man. We had a great time last week. Let's do it again, man. This is fun, and the World Cup has been everything we'd hoped for and more so far, and USA kicks off in about an hour and a half, man. It's just going to get better and better from here on out.
Yeah, Jamie, I have a few questions, man. Now, the first question I have is, did you get a chance to partake in the chicken wings that I suggested to you last week? That's the first question.
The over-under was 30 seconds, and you hit the under. I have not, but I've heard from multiple Uber drivers that the lemon pepper wings are the way to go.
No, the lemon pepper wings are definitely the way to go. And the second question I have is because, you know, I watched a little bit of soccer, man, and the thing that really caught my eye and was a big deal was the Congo and Portugal. And not only that, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo and Portugal being held to just one goal against the Congo. How big of a deal was that in the soccer world?
I mean, it's a big one. And you saw this is the biggest question that we had. And I think we discussed this when we said, hey, this World Cup is going from 32 teams to 48 teams. Is that a good thing to go from, you know, a smaller size pool to a bigger one? And I said, let's wait and see how it goes. Not only do you see that DR Congo, who is ranked 46th in the world, be able to pull off a tie with the number five team, Portugal, led by, you know, arguably the 1B greatest of our generation, Cristiano Ronaldo. You also saw Cabo Verde, which, by the way, if you would ask me, you know, before I found out I was going to commentate that match to, like, you know, spin a globe and figure out where it is, that would have been my best way of figuring out where it was. I didn't know it was this collection of 10 islands off the coast of West Africa. That team, 67th in the world, tied Spain, which is number two in the world. Man, it's been incredible to see what you give opportunities and people are taking them. Teams are taking them. And it's been incredible to see, man. It just goes to show you the level has been higher. But that was a big deal, DR Congo getting their first goal, their first point against Portugal. And that was definitely a surprise.
And when you talk about Cape Verde, weren't they one of the teams that had one of the absolute oldest goalies to be playing in the World Cup? Because
you guys know the story about Vizinho now, what's happened to him?
No, I don't.
Okay, so going into the morning of the match, my guy had 45,000 followers on Instagram.
Oh, I did hear that night with the 2 million. Something crazy. So, I did hear that story.
All right, so by the time he does the press conference after the game where he makes 7 saves, he's the player of the match, incredible story. He's crying tears of happiness. The Cabo Verde fans are dancing in the stadium and all around Atlanta. He had 2 million followers. Guys, what do you think his follower count is today on IG as we sit about a week later after that game?
I'm going to say 10 million.
Okay, 10 million?
That don't sound like it. It sounds like he clipped
20
that.
Million?
We split the difference. 14.2 million
wow.
followers.
Wow.
This guy is a global sensation. 45,000 followers when he woke up that morning. He went to bed that night with like 8 or 9 million. I mean, the guy, RIP his phone. There's no chance that thing stood a chance with the notifications coming through. But, man, it just goes to show you it's why it's a beautiful game. A guy that you've never heard of from an island from a collection of islands that you probably couldn't point out on a map becomes a global superstar with 90 minutes of a soccer match. It's got that kind of weight, that kind of pull. And, man, it's just going to get better and better. And it'll be better if the U.S. continue this hot run of form so it can be another – you know, big story that we're talking about.
I'm not going to lie to you, Jamie. So is Cabo Verde?
So the way we said it, I'm working on the broadcast for the World Feed, and we said Cabo Verde.
Cabo
but I think
Verde.
Everybody knows it as Cape Verde.
This is the place you were looking up homes,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Like
he was trying to move there.
Listen, it's gonna make it worse than it already is for me, but once I saw the fan base down there in Atlanta, I start looking for homes in Cape Verde and start trying to workshop how I could do the show from Cape Verde and still, you know, do a show in Philadelphia.
I tell you what, man, the vibes were immaculate in Atlanta.
I saw it. It was bananas. And you know what? I watched the other night. It was the Ghana game and who was it? Ghana and somebody. That was a phenomenal game. Was it Panama? I think it was Panama.
Yeah, they scored in the 94th minute. Yeah,
a phenomenal game, man. I mean, you know
what?
You can't
do the show from Cabo Verde and Ghana, though, man. You got to pick one or the other because the vibes are immaculate at both.
No, I'm telling you, the crowds, the fans, the atmosphere has been immaculate, man. And it's kind of drawn me in because at first I was kind of like, yeah, the World Cup is here, it's cool. But when you start watching the games and you see the passion of the fans, man, it's an exciting time. No question about that.
Well, I'll tell you this, too. You know, the only place that flies direct from the United States to the capital of Cabo Verde, which is Praia, believe it or not, is Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Wow.
I knew it was somewhere up north. I knew it was in Boston somewhere because there's a lot of Cabo Verdeans up there.
You've done your research. You really have.
Hey, man, listen, I'm dead ass serious about it.
Hey, and I'll tell you what, it's surprising. And by the way, the storylines have just been incredible. They get a chance to go again with their next match. We'll see if we can keep it going. But you guys, breaking news, by the way, the U.S., they kick off in less than 90 minutes. Mayman star player Christian Pulisic is out.
No.
This is just hitting the feed right now.
Oh, boy.
My guy Scaff can't. Apparently they're just going to keep him out of this match. So that's a big storyline for this match. That's like a line mover, you know, if you will, in Vegas.
Not the Titanic music.
Not the Titanic.
Oh, no. We're so excited. Now we're taking on water, Jamie. All right, Jamie. And, of course, Jamie's call here. Insider call presented by Fanatics Sportsbook. Download the Fanatics Sportsbook app today. Fanatics Sportsbook, winning hits different here. All right, so take us through the matchup, Jamie, that we have coming up in an hour and a half or so against Australia. And now, obviously, with the injury here and out of the game, how much will that affect the United States' chances to win this game?
Yeah, it moves the needle a little bit, right? I mean, look, thanks to our good friends at Fanatics Sportsbook for bringing this segment together here. Look, I'm still, last I checked, I think the U.S. were favored by half a goal. I feel confident in that. If you just draw back to the match when these two teams met in October, it was 2-1. The U.S. won here in the United States. And so I think that there's a good chance we could get – I'm even going to be comfortable to say I think this match still goes 2-0, 3-1. I think the U.S. win by two. Mm-hmm. And I think the only thing that could stifle the U.S. is if Australia's physicality and they impose their will to outcompete the United States men's national team, that's the one equalizer for this team. Because if it's played on paper, the U.S. are better. But we know, you guys know this, it's the game's not played that way. And we've seen that because the teams are talking about, like DR Congo and Cabo Verde, were not supposed to have a chance in the world. But that's not how this game goes, right? And so it's just about, for 90 minutes, putting it together and you know, making sure that you beat your guy and the collective of the group is greater than the individual parts. U.S. have got to make sure that they match the intensity of Australia. And if they do that, the skill should be able to shine through, the class and the quality should be able to shine through, and the first goal will be so important. U.S. get in the first 10, 15 minutes, this could go even more comfortably. But that first goal is so important.
Well, it's a big one. It's a huge game today. And I'm excited to watch this when we get off the air and really watch all weekend. I've really enjoyed it, Jamie, just as a sports fan perspective, not even just the U.S. games, all of it, like he was saying. It's been a great event so far. Can't wait for more of these games here in Philadelphia. Jamie, thank you again for joining us. Let's maybe do it again next week. And let's keep going, Team USA. Thank you, Jamie.
I hope so. Listen to the rest of the show and go down and check out the party for Brazil and Haiti for the game later today. It's going to be incredible around that city. I'll be jealous. The eyes of the world will be on Philly today, just in anticipation of that matchup. So thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming on. Today, Insider Call presented by Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. I didn't realize the goalie was that old.
Yeah, because it was. I forgot the other team, but it's a 43-year-old goalie that's playing with somebody, and he's the second youngest goalie. So yeah, I think he's like 39 or something like that. Yeah.
I two times we've talked to Jamie, very informative, really cool to talk to him. He's obviously, you know, really into this and a great ambassador. But two things I've noticed, it's two people helping each other. You helped Jamie last week with some dinner in Atlanta.
Yes.
And he's helping you now pronounce your next home destination.
Cabo Verde, yeah, it's not probably going to happen.
Why?
Because I don't see, it's going to be kind of hard to, you know.
He's a little remote.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to?
It's a lot remote.
But Hugh likes to kind of be on his own.
Yeah,
right?
it's a lot of people.
I think that kind of fits Hugh.
And then I was looking at some of the homes, the amenities.
Yeah.
I mean, they're okay.
Like 3D printing?
I don't know, man. I've been 3D printing. And then I know that one's going to live for a while. You know what it is? When you go to places like that, you have to, like the bugs and stuff, it's a little different.
I'm not a bug guy.
Yeah, and it's.
I'm too well with bugs.
It feels like the spiders are a lot bigger than the ones I'm used to seeing.
Okay.
So it's like,
So we're out on this idea for now?
Yeah,
okay.
Yes.
He was so gung-ho.
You know, I got to say, I'm out on foreign spiders.
No, because they
I don't
feel
like
on
the
edge
spiders
with
here.
The ones here.
Yeah.
No, right. No, because.
I don't want to do foreign spiders.
What is it like? I think it's in Australia or something.
Oh, dude. They got.
I've heard about these. I've seen them personally. Yeah, because they got the spiders that live in your home to kind of like kill the bugs.
Huntsman, I think.
Hold on.
Huntsman. Yeah.
You house
huge.
Your own spiders to get rid of the other spiders?
Like in certain areas, you pick your own spider.
Well, see, the thing about spiders is they're actually like really good.
Yeah, but I don't want to have my pet spider.
Big and scary, right?
Yeah, there's some big spiders, man. I just jumped because I thought about it.
You did jump.
I saw one about, like, I would say, you know, I want to say like 6 inches across.
Some of them eat
crawled
mice.
Out of a kid's suitcase.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's tough. Yeah, I'm out on all that.
I'll be
all
traumatized.
Right. Let's go to Eric in California, who's up on WIP. Eric?
Hey, guys.
What's up,
Eric? Hey, Eric.
I'm sorry, I was heating up some bacon here at my office. Sorry about that.
You took a shot.
Every time.
No, it's a little slick.
He has a different one planned every day.
Take a shot every day. It's cool, Eric. It is what it is.
I know.
Better.
No, I've done a full 180 on the quarterback stat thing.
Okay.
So I was thinking about, imagine a game where the defense is playing staunch. Jake Elliott hits 4 field goals. We win 12-10. You go, oh, that's not a quarterback stat. Right? But here's what I realized and how Hugh's helping us. There's a certain part of the light spectrum, like the infrared that's used to heat or ultraviolet that can give you skin cancer. It's not visible to most human eyes. But Hugh sees on a different frequency, and he sees things that we don't see. Now, I did not play in the NFL for as many years as Hugh did. But what I think he's helping us realize is, like, the quarterback is like the king on the chessboard, and he sets the tone, and everyone kind of plays in service of the quarterback. So when the defense is focused, the quarterback kind of helps them stay calm when things are going bad. And if it's a short, like 4th and goal, the quarterback sets the tone and helps, you know, helps the team play to their highest level. So with the amount of responsibility that the quarterback has, now that I see it, trying to see through Hugh's lens, I think it is a quarterback stat. So I've done a full 180. Thanks to Hugh.
You know what? I got to say, this is like a milestone, because what typically happens is, no matter what either of us say about anything, people never change their mind.
Mm-hmm.
You got someone to change their mind.
Well, I mean, it's the work in progress.
It's a milestone.
You know what, E? It makes, this is the unfortunate thing about the stance that I take. It makes no sense to most people, right? But it makes perfect sense to some. You know what I mean? And it's unfortunate because most football players are wired different. You know, I was talking to one of my friends this morning, and we were talking about how just guys are wired different. But you're right, because the quarterback is supposed to be – he's the face of the – that's why he's the face of the franchise, because he's supposed to be the guy that galvanizes everybody, even though he's on the other side of the ball.
Sure.
Well, and when you said that, it made me think about – remember when John Gruden was browbeating with Chris Sims because he couldn't get the play out?
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about, like, what are you doing? You have to – the quarterback has to command the huddle. And in a sense, he's the calming force to the defense, because the defense is looking at, like, hey, we get this dude back the ball.
Right.
He going to make it happen. Perfect example. Tom Brady in the 4th quarter. 2 minutes left on the clock. The worst thing you could do is his defense give him back the football, because mentally you know that there's a damn good chance that he's going to drive them down the field and win the game.
Well, to your point on that, when the Eagles
Graham hit them with a sack.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, even, Eric, your brain went to the same place I did. That game, right, the first Eagles Super Bowl championship. Think about the score. Think about the time. Think about where the Patriots got the ball back. The chances of them coming back were so minimal, but no one felt comfortable until the clock hit zero, right?
Yes.
Because it was Tom Brady on that side. Eric, good phone call, man. We appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, look. Obviously, Tom Brady is—he's the outlier.
He's the pinnacle.
Yeah, because he did it for so long, and so many times.
He had so many times, like even when you talk about Jalen, you talk about Tampa Bay when he's playing Tampa Bay. Remember that game when he went and said, "Oh, he can't read defense."
Yeah, 2021. Yeah,
and he went out there and he cut him up. But they went into that game thinking that he couldn't do it, and that's what makes Jalen so polarizing, because there's been moments where you've seen him do it. And then there's been moments where he hasn't done it.
Well, yeah, his highs are very high.
Yeah, so I get it. And even in my stance, it's nonsensical. But again, it makes sense to me.
Well,
I
don't think it's nonsensical. I think it's old school. I mean, like,
no, it is. Yeah, that's definitely,
because you're
old
right.
School.
It has been the predominant way that quarterbacks are measured for a long time.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not out of left field. It's just, you know, it's old school. Let's go to Bam in Upper Darby. What's up, Bam?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Bam. What's up?
Not much. Hey, I think y'all need to stop, you know, Jillio, you need to stop picking on Hurts, man.
I'm not picking on Hurts.
I agree.
Who's picking
stop
on Hurts?
Being a Hurts hater.
You are.
You are, man. Stop being a Hurts hater.
Bam.
Everyone can see it, including Bam.
I tried to give him credit for the Super Bowl he lost. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where you're here, and I tried to give him credit for the Super Bowl he lost.
Sees right through you.
Right.
Yep. And Hugh.
Yes.
I am Zillia and Kyle. I know y'all heard Jack freaking Kyle 5 the other day on Tuesday with Frank. I got it. My cousin wrote a song about lobsters, right?
Okay.
I need y'all to look it up. It's called I Love Lobsters.
I Love Lobsters. This is.
I don't think I'm going to do that.
I'll do it this weekend. Where can I find it, Ben?
I'm out.
On YouTube. It's on YouTube, or you can look it up on all music platforms. And his name is One H U N N E D.
I Love Lobsters. All right, I'm on it. I got myself.
I'm not.
Come on, Kyle. You got. It's his cousin. All right, Bam. Good phone call. You going to listen to this one here?
I'll look for it, but you know I'm not gonna put too much effort.
What did that have to do with the top five yesterday?
I don't know. Maybe they were talking about lobsters.
I thought that. Well, I mean, I heard it. They were talking about you, Zesty, Rube getting a little dirty.
Rube, dirty.
7 inches of all that man.
Yeah, that's.
That one's going to last a while. I mean, that's – well, then there was he had the John Johnson one in there, too. The, diving right into the meat or whatever the hell he said.
Yeah, that was crazy. Going right for the meat.
Mm. Guilty!
Yeah. I don't know, man. I've been 3D printing.
I know it was coming.
I knew it was coming.
It's one of my favorite new Hugh drops, actually.
You know, I got to say.
I don't know, man. I've been 3D printing.
I was trying to say it like Forrest Gump, but it
yeah.
I got to say. It's not helping. Now, you might not think I have this opinion, but I have this opinion.
What's that?
This has been my favorite Hugh Douglas week. I'm serious. You gave us the 3D printing. The Rocky and Hertz thing was an amazing analogy that we got to have fun with for 3 days.
It was a big 2 weeks, if we're being honest. With the Dalton thing last week.
No, I got to say, I know it's the afternoon show's thing. You deserve the belt. I mean,
you know what?
I think you do. I mean, the Rocky thing this week was the best thing I heard on the station. I disagreed with him, but it's the best thing I heard.
And it's okay to disagree. It's just that, you know, it's just the way that I thought about it.
It's the frequency.
Yeah, it's the vibrating thing. Yeah. So, yeah, I get it.
So, I got one quick story before we go. There's an NFL player right now who might be vibrating on a higher frequency than anyone in the league. Did you see this Sauce Gardner story?
No.
So Sauce Gardner is listed on NFL.com, the Colts website, Pro Football Reference, anywhere you look, as 25 years old. Yesterday, Sauce Gardner told everyone has his birthday wrong. He's actually 24. Mm-hmm. That the whole league has been wrong on how old he has been the entire time he's been in the league. How is that possible?
I don't know.
Do we think he knows how old he really is?
I mean, I would think you would, but yeah. I'm not going to lie. As I've gotten older, I tend to forget. Wait a minute, how old am I? So, but the only reason I know now is because I'll be eligible for my 401k. So that's why I got
that's a good
excited.
Reason to know.
I mean, I'm excited
about
that.
The milestones.
It's like, oh, yeah, okay, 55.
Are we going to throw you a 401k party then?
I don't know. It all depends on what it looked like, because when I get that readout, if it's looking kind of chunky, that might be it for me.
Oh, it's just out.
It might be.
We throw the party without you.
Happy Fort, where is he? He's gone. Happy 401k day.
Like, hey. They'll be no, pulling the curtain back on his plaque up on that wall.
I'm not going anywhere, man. But at one point, I did think about that. I was like, man, you know, because when you're young and you think about your 401k, mm-hmm. and you're matching it and you're putting the max in, you never think about it. But as you get older and you start seeing those dividends, you're like, okay, so yeah, it's one of those things. And I'm pretty sure there's some people out there that are about to hit those milestones and they have the same decisions. And you just kind of look and say, okay, what does the next, 10 years look like?
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, everyone out there, have a great Father's Day. Hugh, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Joe.
We'll all talk. Right, we'll
happy
talk.
Happy almost to one day going to be a father, Kyle.
Yes.
That's not up to you.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying it's not, but it's, you know, I just wanted to put it out there for you.
All right.
Well, thanks a lot.
Everyone have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.